Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria Restaurant in downtown Champaign. Radio Maria's is now featuring their spring menu, along with tapas, served every evening until 2 a.m. Lunch is served on Friday and Saturday, 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Sunday. Information on their menus, wine, and beer lists can be found at RadioMariaRestaurant.com.
Vintage Vinyl is coming soon. Bring your used records, CDs, DVDs, and working stereo equipment to our location in the East Wing of Lincoln Square, Urbana, between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. by Wednesday, May 13th. And mark your calendar for the sale date, May 16th. For more information, call Dean Geiken at 333-6503, 333-6503. In sports this afternoon, the Chicago Blackhawks are off tonight before heading into Game 5 of their best-of-seven playoff series in Vancouver tomorrow night. The Hawks' 2-1 win last night evened the series at two games apiece. Coach Joel Quenneville says it was a huge comeback for his team and it gets Chicago back in the series. The St. Louis Cardinals look for a fifth consecutive victory over Cincinnati when they begin a three-game series tonight at Great American Ballpark. St. Louis is coming off a two-game home sweep of Pittsburgh after losing three in a row. Randy Wells will make his first major league start when he takes the mound for the Chicago Cubs when they face the Milwaukee Brewers at Miller Park tonight. The Cubs are coming off an 8-5 victory over Houston. That was their sixth win in seven games. The White Sox are going to go to Jose Contreras, who will be trying again for his first win of the season when the Sox open a three-game series with the Texas Rangers. The White Sox have lost all five starts by Contreras this season. And Indiana Pacers forward Danny Granger has been invited to participate in a USA basketball training camp this summer, a step toward possibly playing in the 2012 Olympics. Granger said yesterday he likely will accept the invitation. That's sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria Restaurant in downtown Champaign. Radio Maria's is now featuring their spring menu, along with tapas, served every evening until 2 a.m. Lunch is served on Friday and Saturday, 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Sunday. Information on their menus, wine, and beer lists can be found at RadioMariaRestaurant.com.
There's some good news about the economy. April retail sales were better than expected, and the stock market has been rallying. At least those are some of the official numbers. The rest of us have our own personal economic indicators. The NPR Planet Money team has been tracking those. Caitlin Kenny reports.
5 days. That was Daniel Cross's economic indicator. He designs electronic circuits in Florida. And in January, he was told he would have to take 5 days off, unpaid. A furlough. A furlough, like those other economic indicators, can be hard to interpret. But Cross still had his job, and it was a chance to do something he'd been putting off.
I'm in the middle of a home renovation project. We had a plumbing disaster, so this will give me an opportunity to finish that up.
That call was in January. We checked back in with Cross this spring. He still had his job, but his office had become something like a Dilbert cartoon.
Well, the rumor is that our site is going to be closed.
So what's the atmosphere in the office like right now?
Well, I actually have an email. Could I read you an email we got yesterday?
Yeah, sure.
All right. The topic was professionalism. All. There's no doubt that we are all living in an uncertain and difficult time, but we cannot fall into non-professional behaviors. And there are things that cannot be tolerated on company property. For example, marker inscriptions in the restroom about your career moving into smelly places, cardboard resumes near cubes saying, "We'll design circuits for food," sarcastic whiteboard messages, etc.
And then Cross's indicator went from 5 furlough days to infinity. The business closed up shop, and Cross is now out of a job, like a lot of people in Florida. Mandy Dalton found her personal indicator in a newspaper story about the bankruptcy of General Growth Properties, the second largest mall owner in the country. The paper said General Growth owed billions of dollars to huge banks, but it turns out General Growth owed her money as well. She's not a bank. She's a clown.
I make kids laugh. I fall on my butt for a living. It is great.
Dalton did a family fun day at a mall near Baltimore. Now if she wants to get paid, she'll have to wait in a long line.
Frankly, I only charged him $200 for the gig. I have to weigh, do I want to spend the money that it's going to take me to go up to New York to sit in on the creditors meeting where other people are going to be there for, you know, if not millions, certainly in the hundreds of thousands of dollars looking for payment. And I'm supposed to go to the judge and say, I want my $200.
$200, Mandy Dalton's indicator, is a lot of money for her. Clowning comes with what economists call fixed costs.
The clown shoes, man, clown shoes, they're expensive. Clown shoes will run you about $200-$300 a pair easy.
Dalton says her business is off 87% for the first quarter. So Tim Geithner, Ben Bernanke, if you want to know if your plans are working, the clowning perspective is maybe. Dalton says she's gotten calls about performing at fundraisers, but she's not sure if that means the places are healthy or they're in trouble and really need to raise money. Caitlin Kenney, NPR News.
It's the clown stress test. It's 2:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. NASA is preparing for a phase-out of its space shuttle program. The shuttle will be replaced by the Orion space capsule, but there will be a 4 to 5 year gap in between the last shuttle launch and the first voyage of the space capsule. AM580's Jeff Bosser talked with the commander of the most recent shuttle mission, University of Illinois graduate Lee Archambault, for his thoughts on the future of the U.S. space program.
You in a somber mood as you see that the end very much in sight for the shuttle program, or is it time to move on to something with more capability?
Both. I am in a somber mood as I see the end of the shuttle program approaching. It is time to move on to a different vehicle. We haven't had a new vehicle in over 30 years, and that's not a reason in itself just to move on. But the shuttle has done its job. It's given us access to low Earth orbit for a number of years. It's allowed us to build this International Space Station. Of course, we couldn't have even thought about building this space station without the shuttle. And we do need to move on if our vision is to stay for the future of space exploration is to stay where it is today, and that is to move beyond the space station and go back to the moon and not just do it for a couple of days like we did in Apollo 30 years ago, but to live and work up there for a prolonged period of time, weeks, months, many months. Having said all that, it still makes me somewhat uncomfortable to know that we're going to be stopping our access to space at least 4 years before the Orion vehicle is ready to fly with humans aboard.
What are your hopes in terms of those first few missions for Orion, and what will they be able to do?
Well, the first few missions for Orion, when we start flying in 2015, will be going to the International Space Station. There will be test missions to test out the new vehicle and test its docking capability with the International Space Station. It's my understanding that we're not planning lunar missions until close to the year 2020. Certainly, I'd like to go sooner than later, but that's as far as us developing the architecture and a couple of new vehicles to be able to get us there. That's right now. That's how long it's going to take us. I tell you, to me, the biggest disappointment is the fact that we're going to stop flying the shuttle at least 4 years before we start flying the Orion. Our country has spent a lot of money and many years of flying space shuttle missions to build this International Space Station, and essentially, as soon as we get done building it, we're going to rely exclusively on one of our international partners, Russia in particular, to get us to the International Space Station for at least 4 years. Now, the Russians have been very good partners of ours, and we've both have benefited from our relationship with each other in the construction and the maintenance and the operation of the International Space Station. But it makes me uncomfortable, not only as an astronaut, but certainly as a taxpayer, to have spent so many billions of dollars on a project that is very, very worthwhile and many, many years of constructing this, only to immediately turn our access over exclusively to somebody else other than ourselves.
Was it poor planning in terms of federal funding, or I guess what's the root of why things worked out the way they did?
Well, I believe the reason it worked out that way is that previous administrator, Mr. Mike Griffin, was tasked with coming up with a plan on how to develop and build a new space program, that being the Constellation program, the heart of it being the Orion vehicle, to get from here to there based on a very fixed budget, under the assumption that you'd have very limited budget increases from year to year. His monetary path to making ends meet was to retire the shuttle by 2010 and then be able to use the funds that were made available, or that the funds that were necessary to operate a shuttle program, be able to convert those into monies to be used for the procurement of the hardware for the new vehicle. So it was all it was all a matter of money, of why we could not fly a shuttle right up until we started flying the Orion.
And are we expected, do you think we'll be able to reach Mars with this vehicle?
Gosh, I should hope so, but that's so far in the distant future. You know, the plan is to hopefully get to the moon by 2020 and within 10 years after that get to Mars. But right now we're still in very much in the development stages of designing the architecture just to get us back to the moon and to be able to get up there and live and work there for prolonged periods of time.
AM580's Jeff Bossert spoke with astronaut and University of Illinois graduate Lee Archambault. The Chicago area native, who now lives in Texas, says he expects to return to his alma mater for a visit by the fall. Another U of I grad, Scott Altman, will lead NASA's next shuttle mission, slated for launch on Monday. The crew of Atlantis will perform long-delayed maintenance on the Hubble Space Telescope. In a move that even he described as dramatic, Illinois' House Speaker introduced legislation to fire thousands of people from their state positions. It's targeted at employees and board members who got their jobs during the scandal-ridden administrations of former governors George Ryan and Rod Blagojevich. Amanda Vinicky reports.
Back in January, on Pat Quinn's first full day as governor, he made a promise. He promised that heads would roll.
We're going to start to fumigate state government from top to bottom to make sure that it has no corruption.
House Speaker Mike Madigan says ever since, he's consistently encouraged Quinn to follow through on that pledge. But Madigan says Quinn hasn't listened.
I'm not satisfied with the pace of change. I think that we have to move faster. We have to move more dramatically. And that's why I'm sponsoring this legislation.
The speaker wants to empty state government's payrolls and rosters of anyone selected by George Ryan or Rod Blagojevich.
And it clearly will be the type of fumigation of the Ryan and Blagojevich appointments that I think the people of the state of Illinois are demanding so that we can move away from the scandals of the past.
The plan could result in a massive purge of an estimated 3,000 people. It's not directed at all state employees. Union members are safe. State jobs filled through standard, heavily regulated application procedures would stay untouched, too. It mainly applies to people whom Governors Ryan and Blagojevich had wide discretion to employ. In other words, political hires, from cabinet members on down to members of 90 state boards and commissions. That includes powerful boards like university trustees, as well as smaller panels like a council on spinal cord and head injuries. The speaker won't say if he's targeting specific individuals, but he did agree with this characterization, that with Quinn as governor instead of Blagojevich, it seems like the head has changed, but not the body. Madigan says that many of the problems emblematic of the Blagojevich administration, like uncooperative agency directors, are still problems.
We have several issues we're working on right now. We're constantly coming up against the same people that we were disagreeing with under Blagojevich. No, I'm not going to give you examples.
Whoever Madigan is talking about, they're all people Quinn made the choice to keep on. As governor, it's fully within Quinn's power to fire agency directors. He has replaced several Blagojevich agency heads. Even so, Quinn says he doesn't feel like Madigan is trying to usurp his authority.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's one that we need to use to reassess everything in state government, and if we see anything that isn't proper, then we can act accordingly.
Quinn says the proposal makes it possible to remove some appointees who are in the middle of terms, something he can't do now. The overhaul comes as Quinn and legislators are tackling a crippling budget deficit. But Quinn says he's not concerned potentially losing thousands of employees will paralyze state government. If it becomes law, all appointees could hold on to their positions for 60 days. Quinn says that will give him time over the summer to review each appointee's performance. He's free to rehire or renominate whomever he chooses. Senator Kirk Dillard, a Republican from Hinsdale, says it'll be good to have a clean slate.
Some of these people will remain, but at least under his proposal, we'll get to take another look at whether we want to keep them around.
Still, Dillard questions the speaker's motives. Dillard says it looks to him like this is a smokescreen Madigan's using to avoid passing fundraising caps and legislative term limits.
But what you can't let happen here is you can't have Speaker Madigan say, this is our reform and go home. We need real reform. This is just one little piece of a major ethics puzzle that's got to be put together in the next 3 weeks.
A small piece of the puzzle, but also unprecedented. Dillard says he doesn't recall a government ever house cleaning on this scale. He does remember when, soon after Governor Blagojevich, known then as a reformer, took office, Blagojevich made a big public showing of canning some Ryan appointees. Many of them sued and won back their jobs. Madigan didn't appear concerned about any legal implications. He says these people serve at the pleasure of their appointer. Clearly for the speaker, if that appointer was George Ryan or Rod Blagojevich, it isn't a pleasure anymore. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
And we hope you'll join us Saturday mornings at 11 for State Week in Review here on AM 580, FM 90.9 HD2, and online at will.illinois.edu.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designers of the M2 on Neal mixed-use project in downtown Champaign, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
Earth and Sky.
Friday, May 8th, 2009. Your calendar might say that full moon comes tomorrow.
But it's a very full-looking moon that'll rise over the eastern horizon tonight around sunset. And at the meridian of Greenwich, England, the May full moon happens at 4:01 a.m. Saturday morning. So your calendar might give May 9th as the date of full moon.
But the moon is really closer to full tonight than tomorrow night. The moon is most full when it stands opposite the sun as viewed from the entire Earth. And as always, the full moon occurs at the same moment all around the world, just after 4 a.m. in England tomorrow morning, just after 11 p.m. tonight in the U.S. Central Time Zone.
In the Northern Hemisphere, we call this May full moon by the name Planting Moon or Milk Moon. It's in front of the constellation Libra, not far from Libra's brightest stars, Zubin el-Janubi and Zubin es-Shamali. And if you stay up late enough, you can see an even brighter star in the moon's vicinity. It's Antares, known as the heart of the scorpion in the constellation Scorpius.
So watch for the moon tonight, rising in the east around sunset, climbing highest in the sky around midnight, and setting in the west around sunrise. And for a link to full moon names, come to earthsky.org. I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for WILL comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203.